Greater Richland Area Cancer Elimination. Grace will be holding Walk with Grace tonight at Crosco Park in Richland Center. Cancer survivor registration will begin at 4 o'clock, and those in attendance can start getting bidder numbers for the silent auction and bucket raffle. Silent auction bidding and bucket raffle ticket sales will get underway as well. At 6 o'clock, the opening ceremony will be held. During the ceremony, this year's ambassadors, Gary Schwartz, Mike Bradford, and Lila Babe Kraska, and Nancy Gear will be recognized. The opening lap featuring survivors and caretakers will also be held. At 9 o'clock, the luminary ceremony will start. Names on each luminary will be read at that time. Following the ceremony, the final lap will be held. All are welcome to attend the 23rd annual Walk with Grace tonight, starting at 4 o'clock at Crosco Park in Richland Center. And yes, the event will be at Crosco Park outside today, starting at 4 o'clock. A lot has been said about the proposed BECI 765 kilovolt power lines project, and still, many landowners feel as though they have very little information. Mid-Continent Grid Solutions will be hosting open houses throughout the area to share information and hear from the public. The first of these will be in Richland Center Monday, August 24th, from 10 a.m. until 1 p.m. at the Richland Center High School. That same day, Monday, August 24th, there will be an open house in Gaze Mills at the Gaze Mills Community Center from 4 p.m. until 7 p.m. In Sauk County, there will be an open house in Baraboo Tuesday, August 25th, from 10 a.m. until 1 p.m. A woman is currently in stable condition following a stabbing incident in Vernon County that occurred Wednesday morning. Authorities received a report around 9 a.m. regarding a female patient who'd been admitted to the emergency room at Amplify Health in La Crosse, suffering from multiple stab wounds. Law enforcement officials have confirmed that a suspect is in custody and is awaiting formal charges. The Vernon County Sheriff's Department is actively assisting with the ongoing investigation. Officials have stated that this was an isolated incident and there is no ongoing danger to the public. Out of respect for the investigation, names and additional specific details are currently being withheld, according to Westby Police Chief Scott Stuber. After confirming two cases of measles in the state on Wednesday, the Wisconsin Department of Health Sciences has now confirmed the number of confirmed cases has grown to 15. The two initial cases were in Iowa and Lafayette counties. All 13 of the new cases are in Iowa County. Citizens are urged to check their immunization records and to stay home if they're experiencing symptoms. Health officials state the measles vaccine is 97% effective against the disease. The source of the spread has not yet been identified, but the new cases have come in people who had not traveled outside the state, which means the virus has been transmitting locally. Following a federal executive order issued August 10th regarding routine childhood vaccination schedules, Wisconsin Department of Health Services Secretary Kirsten Johnson has affirmed that the state will maintain its established approach to immunization guidance. Secretary Johnson emphasized that the DHS continues to rely on systematic and transparent reviews of scientific evidence to inform updates for parents, healthcare providers, and public health agencies. Despite the recent federal action, the department's position remains unchanged, and they continue to support the childhood and adolescent immunization schedules published by the American Academy of Pediatrics and the American Academy of Family Physicians. The DHS expressed deep concern regarding the lack of scientific evidence in recent statements from top federal officials. Secretary Johnson noted that health professionals and parents deserve accurate and credible information, asserting that no new scientific evidence exists to justify changing recommendations that have long protected children across the United States. Wisconsin health officials remain committed to providing guidance that reflects a careful evaluation of benefits and risks, ensuring families can access preventative care while maintaining the trust of the public. On the afternoon of August 9th, a routine drive through the village of Dickeyville took a dangerous turn when a Cuba City man veered off course, resulting in a collision that downed a power pole. The Grant County Sheriff's Office responded to reports of a single vehicle accident on South Main Street near the vicinity of Sunset Lanes, where investigators began piecing together the sequence of events. Deputies at the scene determined that 62-year-old Michael McDermott was traveling southbound on South Main Street when his vehicle unexpectedly crossed the center line. After drifting into the lane of oncoming traffic, the truck left the pavement entirely on the left side of the road. The vehicle's momentum carried it into a power pole with enough force to snap the wooden structure in half. In a precarious turn of events, the severed top of the pole landed directly onto McDermott's truck before the vehicle finally came to a rest back on the roadway. Despite the significant impact and the live hazard of the downed pole, authorities confirmed that McDermott emerged from the wreckage without injury. However, the subsequent investigation led to his immediate arrest. McDermott now faces charges for operating while under the influence first offense and was further cited for possessing open intoxicants within a motor vehicle, according to officials from the Grant County Sheriff's Office. The Richland School District Board of Education met on Wednesday to discuss and finalize various administrative matters for the upcoming academic period. During this meeting, the board officially approved the hiring of Jordan Galleon, who will join the district as a special education teacher for the 2026-27 school year. The Richland Charter Schools Governance Board will convene for a meeting Tuesday, August 18th at 3:45 p.m. The session is set to take place at the Partner School, located at 1000 U.S. Highway 14 West in Richland Center. This gathering provides an important opportunity for board members and the public to engage with the ongoing operations and strategic direction of the district's charter programs. The agenda for the afternoon includes several key items, starting with a registration period for public comments. Following the opening formalities and approval of the minutes from the previous meeting held May 28th, the board will review the latest financial reports. A significant portion of the meeting will be dedicated to information and discussion, featuring specialized governance board training led by Dan Lathrop. Additionally, attendees will receive progress updates regarding both the Hive and Partner Schools before the meeting concludes. The City of Viroqua is proud to announce the appointment of Julie Emsley as the community's new city administrator, bringing more than 16 years of dedicated experience in economic and community development. Emsley is set to begin her official duties on September 15th. Her professional journey began with a master's degree in rural development from the University of Alaska Fairbanks, earned through the Peace Corps Master's International Program. This academic foundation was followed by 2 years of service as a community development specialist in Jamaica, where she honed her skills in grassroots development before returning to Alaska to serve as a project manager for the Fairbanks Economic Development Corporation. In that capacity, she led diverse initiatives involving agricultural outreach, cold weather testing, and tech-led development. Emsley, who grew up in Northwest Indiana, relocated to Viroqua with her family in 2016 to return to her Midwestern roots. Since moving to the area, she's become an integral part of the local professional landscape, serving for 5 years as the Southwest Program Manager for the Wisconsin Women's Business Initiative Corporation. Most recently, she served as the Economic Development Administrator for the City of La Crosse. During her 5-year tenure there, she was instrumental in launching impactful projects, including the development of hundreds of new housing units, significant reductions in child care wait lists through increased facility capacity, the revitalization of blighted properties, and the support of dozens of small businesses through innovative local partnerships. Beyond her professional accolades, Emsley is deeply connected to the Viroqua community. She and her husband, Matt, have 3 children currently enrolled in the Viroqua Area School District. Her commitment to the city is reflected in her extensive local involvement, having served as chair of the Viroqua Area Montessori School Governance Council, a commissioner with the Viroqua Business Park, a member of the Vernon Women's Alliance, and a board member of the Vernon Economic Development Association. She also continues to contribute her time as a volunteer with the Vernon County Teen Court Program. The Waniwak Lions Club invites the public to be part of Waniwak history when moving of the historic Hoover Hobo Hotel takes place tomorrow in Waniwak. Julie Ott is with the Waniwak Lions Club.
The event starts at 9 o'clock in the morning, goes to about 2. The actual raising of the Hobo Hotel will start around 10 o'clock. I'm not sure how long that'll take, but a group of men and women from the heritage community. We've hired them to do the work on it, the restoration pieces, and they came to us and said, how about if we actually do the old-fashioned lifting of the building, the structure, and move it down the street? I'm like, wow, that'd be pretty cool. So there's going to be about 50 to 60 persons that physically lift it. It'll be all braced up and walk it about 150 yards maybe down the same street and place it on foundation that they've already started with there along Washington Street, which is County Double F, and the 400 bike trail. So it can be seen right from Highway 33 and the bike trail and hopefully bring people into the village.
The history of the Hobo Hotel dates back to the 1800s. Lions Club member Richard Kilmer talks about that history.
Wanuok was on the 400 line from Chicago to Minneapolis. We're the midpoint, 200 miles from Chicago, 200 miles from Minneapolis, and as Chicago Northwestern trains went through there. But during the Depression, 25% of the population was without work. I mean, there were hobos before, but there were all these homeless people traveling the rails, and Wanuok decided, oh, we need to do something for these people, because every family was affected. So they turned this shed into, it used to be the town jail, into a place for them to stay, put in bunk beds, a stove, and provided food for them. The hobos could get off, they could wash their clothes, they could have a good meal, and it was really a very popular place for these people to stop. But then after the Depression was over, people didn't want a memory of this, so most of these places were torn down. I think there's one other one that we know of in Michigan that still stands. There's carvings in there from the hobos, and so it's kind of an important part of history.
During the event, there will also be a hobo zone featuring kids' activities and games, a variety of vendors, music, and food stands. All are welcome to watch the moving of the historic Hoover Hobo Hotel, part of the historical hotel's restoration, tomorrow from 9 a.m. until 2 p.m. in Wanuok. You can hear more about the event and the Hobo Hotel history online at WRCO.com during this past Wednesday's morning show interview. The Richland Center High School Theater Department will be holding a trivia night tomorrow night at the Phoenix Center in Richland Center. The event is a fundraiser for the upcoming production of Mamma Mia. A.J. Clone is a member of the theater department.
I think it'll be a great success for the theater. We need all the help we can get, and we would just love everyone to show up this Saturday at 6 p.m. It would just be great to see everyone's beautiful faces, and it should be a fun night.
Everyone is encouraged to organize a team and take part in trivia.
We would love for you to bring your whole family if you want, or if you have about four friends that you think are smart or just want to have fun and throw some answers out there, see if you're right or wrong. Just show up with a group of people that you trust to make some smart decisions.
You can have a team of up to eight people, and cost is $10 per person. No pre-registration is required. Registration will take place from 6 until 6:30, and trivia will get underway at 7 o'clock. There will also be another opportunity at Trivia Night to help the theater department raise money.
We do have a silent auction going on that night, so I don't know all of what's in there, but we will have other things. So we'll have that trivia, so you get $10 to get into the door, we'll do the trivia night, and then there will be a silent auction either following or before.
Get your thinking caps on and have fun at the Richland Center High School Theater Department's Trivia Night and Silent Auction tomorrow night at the Phoenix Center in Richland Center, starting at 6 p.m. All proceeds go to support the RCHS Theater Department. Governor Tony Evers and Travel Wisconsin have officially designated the Wisconsin State Capitol and its surrounding square as the 12th Wonder of Wisconsin. This prestigious list recognizes unforgettable destinations shaped by natural forces and human hands that serve as essential experiences for residents and visitors alike. By joining this iconic group, the Capitol Square now stands alongside other sites of natural and cultural significance, such as the Apostle Islands, National Lakeshore, and Lambeau Field. The significance of this designation lies in the Capitol's role as more than just an architectural marvel. Governor Evers described the square as the people's house, emphasizing its importance as a vital gathering space that represents shared Wisconsin values. From hosting landmark legislation to community staples like the Dane County Farmers Market and Art Fair on the Square, the Capitol serves as a living backdrop for the state's history and culture. Tourism Secretary Ann Sayers echoed this sentiment, noting that the Rising Dome acts as a centerpiece for life in Madison, creating lifelong memories for all who visit. This announcement comes at a time of unprecedented success for the state's tourism industry. In 2025, Wisconsin celebrated its fourth consecutive record-breaking year, generating a staggering $27 billion in total economic impact. This performance, which averages approximately $74 million in economic activity per day, surpassed the previous record set in 2024. Furthermore, the state saw a record 117.9 million visits in 2025, a significant increase that highlights the growing appeal of Wisconsin's diverse destinations. The inclusion of the state capitol as a wonder of Wisconsin is expected to further drive visitation and sustain this historic economic momentum. The Kickapoo School District is excited to announce that online registration for the upcoming school year is officially open. They're looking forward to a great year and want to ensure every family is ready for the first day of school. To get started, please log in to Family Access through Skyward to complete the registration process for each of your children. It is important to note that online registration must be completed through a web browser on a computer or laptop, as the Skyward mobile app does not support the registration forms. If you've forgotten your login credentials or password, office staff is ready to assist. For elementary school students, please contact Melissa in the elementary office. For middle and high school students, reach out to Sophie in the middle school high school office. Kickapoo Schools understand that some families may need extra assistance or access to a computer. They invite you to stop by during the open house Wednesday, August 26th from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. The high school computer lab located directly across from the middle school high school office will be open for you to use their equipment and receive hands-on help with the registration process. Please ensure all registrations are submitted no later than the deadline, September 14th. And Ithaca online registration is now open within Skyward. Head to the Ithaca Skyward Family Access Portal link and log in with your parent or guardian username and password. Once signed in, look for the online registration or new student online enrollment tab on the left side of the screen to complete the required forms. It is important to note that online registration must be completed through a web browser on a computer or laptop, as the Skyward mobile app does not support the registration forms. If you've forgotten your login credentials or password, Ithaca office staff is ready to assist at 608-585-2311. New this year, Ithaca also has backpacks available for students, thanks to the generosity of the folks at Land O'Lakes. Stop by now to pick one up for your students or call 608-585-2311 for more information. New plans to replace a pair of iconic downtown Madison spots with housing. Salt Lake City-based Lotus Company will be the fifth developer since 2000 to propose tearing down the Essen House and come back in. The latest plans would replace the buildings with a hotel, retail space, and around 200 low-income apartments. Previous plans to replace the aging properties failed in 2024, 2019, and earlier. Lotus Company will have to complete the full planning process with Madison officials, but are hoping to have the new buildings open by summer of 2029. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources has issued a warning, as statistics reveal 29 fatal ATV-UTV incidents have occurred in the state so far this year. According to DNR data, the primary contributing factors in these fatalities are the failure to wear helmets and the non-use of seat belts. A third major factor identified by officials is the lack of completion of a safety education course, a trend that DNR Off-Highway Vehicle Administrator Lieutenant Jacob Holsklaw describes as troubling. While not all crashes are entirely preventable, officials emphasize that the probability of survival increases significantly when proper safety equipment is utilized. Among the 29 fatal incidents recorded this year, 13 involved ATVs, and 16 involved UTVs, with rollovers, collisions with motor vehicles, and ejections serving as the leading crash types. Local communities across Wisconsin have seen the impact of these trends firsthand through numerous reported incidents, ranging from UTV rollovers in the town of Wheatland and the town of Exeter to accidents near Livingston and in the village of Barneveld. To combat this trend, the DNR urges all riders to adopt a strict safety code of conduct. This includes operating vehicles while sober, using helmets, seat belts, and eye protection at all times, and adhering to all regulatory signs and speed limits. Furthermore, riders are encouraged to enroll in DNR-approved safety courses regardless of age, as these classes provide critical skills for accident prevention. Wisconsin law mandates that all operators involved in crash incidents report them to law enforcement without delay and submit a written report to the DNR within 10 days. Further information regarding riding regulations, safety classes, and reports can be found on the Wisconsin DNR website. 5 years into its ambitious construction journey, the future USS Wisconsin is steadily taking shape as a cornerstone of the Navy's next generation fleet. To celebrate this milestone and the vessel's connection to the state, the Wisconsin Veterans Museum will host a public event August 27th. The morning begins at 9:15 a.m. with a formal reading of a proclamation from Governor Evers, which officially designates the date as USS Wisconsin Day in recognition of the submarine's hull number 827. Attendees will have the unique opportunity to engage with officials from the USS Wisconsin Association to learn more about the boat's development. The museum gallery will feature significant artifacts from the build, including a casting from one of the submarine's torpedo tubes and a collection of images documenting its construction. As the third U.S. Navy vessel to bear the name of the state, the Wisconsin represents a deep-seated tradition of naval service. Museum Director Kolakowski noted that the institution is proud to serve as the keeper of memories for the veterans who served on previous ships of this name, while beginning to tell the story of this newest nuclear-powered ballistic missile submarine through these physical pieces of its history. Technically known as the Columbia-class ballistic missile submarine, the SSBN 827 is currently being built through a partnership between General Dynamics Electric Boat and Huntington Ingalls Industries. The project is a massive undertaking with significant local impact, as more than 300 defense contractors and suppliers from across the state of Wisconsin are actively contributing to the design and development of this critical class of submarines. The Wisconsin Housing and Economic Development Authority, WEDA, has officially opened registration for its highly anticipated 2026 conference titled How Housing Happens, scheduled for November 18th and 19th at the Monona Terrace Community and Convention Center in Madison. The event serves as a critical nexus for affordable housing leaders. By bringing together a diverse group of developers, property managers, financial specialists, lenders, advocates, and government officials, the conference fosters a unique environment for collaboration and innovation in addressing the state's housing needs. The programming for the event is designed to move from foundational learning to strategic execution over the course of a day and a half. Day one kicks off at noon, focusing on hands-on training, workshops, and skill development centered on WEDA's various programs and industry-wide challenges. This initial day concludes with a keynote address and a networking reception. The second day expands into a full schedule featuring breakout sessions across four specialized tracks: multifamily development and finance, community engagement, property management and compliance, and affordable housing vision and strategy. Attendees will also have access to the vendor marketplace, where businesses can showcase their work and network with industry peers.